Amen. God is good. Thank you for praying with me tonight, and I pray you keep them in your prayers. Amen. The things that are going on. With all that being said, I do have a few things to say tonight before we get into Psalms. And you know, believe it or not, it's hard to believe that we started Psalm 1, September 4th, in 2019. That's 2 years and 2 years ago in 1 month. Amen. And of course, you know, the pandemic has slowed a lot of things down. Amen. And that's exactly what happened there. So we're going to complete it tonight, and I'm so thankful about that. And also next Wednesday, the Lord willing, we're going to be starting Proverbs. And I've asked Pastor Thomas to teach through Proverbs, and so I'm really looking forward to his teaching through that great book. So I hope you join us on Wednesday nights for that. And I'll be announcing this. I've already talked to the staff about it, but we'll be announcing this Sunday as well as I'm announcing it to you tonight. And that is, I'm asking you if you will join with me in your early morning prayer time throughout the entire month of November to pray the prayer from what we learned last Wednesday night from Psalm 143:8. Let me read it to you, where it says, "Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you do I trust." I love praying that every morning. I love praying that. He says, "Oh, cause me to know the way in which I should walk. Tell me the path, Lord, I need to go down. For I lift up my soul. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. Teach me to do your will, for you're my God. Your spirit is so good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. Revive me." In other words, refresh me spiritually, O Lord. And he goes through and he talks about our enemies. Cut them off. Well, our enemies are the world, the flesh, and the devil. Amen. The powers of darkness. And then he concludes, for he says, "I am your servant." And that's who we are. And remember what I call this prayer? The servant's prayer. So Psalm 143, verse 8 through 12, would you please pray that with me? Each morning through the month of November. You might want to even pray through December with it, which would be fine as well. But I encourage you to memorize that. And every word, when you cry out to the God, when it says, "Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for I trust in you, Lord." What a glorious word. Amen. Oh, Lord, let me experience your love the very first thing when I wake up. So you be praying that with me, because good things are coming and God is moving in a special way. Let's turn to Psalm 145. We're going to talk about tonight everything that hath breath. This is a praise of David. So we close out the Psalms with actually the last Psalm of King David, which actually is an acrostic, okay? Remember, the Hebrew alphabet has 22 letters. There's 21 verses in this. And it's interesting, and I don't know why, and no one else does either. We can speculate. But why did David leave out one letter of the Hebrew alphabet? And that letter is nun, N-U-N. He left that one out. And we're not really sure why, you know. And so someone, F.W. Grant, says, well, this is what I think. He says, "I cannot but conclude that the gap is meant to remind us that the fact of the fullness of praise is not complete without other voices, which are not found here. And these missing voices," meaning that one verse that David did not include, it says, "which are not found here," these missing voices are those of the church, the heavenly saints in general. If he is correct, which I believe he probably is, what he's saying is our praise, he's saying, will never be complete until we are all there together in heaven. Amen? So that's what they're saying, or what they believe about that, beginning in verse 1. David says, "I will extol you, O God, my King, and I will bless your name forever and ever." And one day when we arrive in heaven, you know what? For all eternity, we'll be praising the name of the Lord. Heaven is a place of incredible praise. He says, every day. I like that. How many days are in a week? Some of you forgot. 7 days. He says, He says, every day, not just Wednesday when I come to Wednesday evening service, not just Sunday. He says, no, every day I will bless you and I will praise your name forever. Listen, did you know the only part that we do now, which is we are praising the Lord, we will do that part in heaven. In heaven, are we going to pray? In heaven? What am I going to pray for? I have it all. Hello? Am I going to walk in faith? What do you mean? I know all things. I'm with the Lord. No, so it'll be a place of praise, loved one. Oh, look at verse 3. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised, and his greatness is what? You notice that David said great, greatly, and then greatness. In other words, God's greatness is absolutely unsearchable. No one can investigate and figure out the incredible greatness of our God. Matter of fact, no one is able to even measure the greatness of God. Paul writes in Romans 11:33, he says, oh, the depth, the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Here it comes. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. In other words, they cannot be traced. You always say when I quote that verse, it's like footsteps on the ocean. Can you find them? No, they're untraceable. Look at the next verse here. He says, one generation shall praise your works to another. In other words, from one generation to the next generation. And shall declare your mighty acts, and I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty, on your wonderful or wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness, and they shall utter the memory of your great goodness and sing of your righteousness. It says from generation to generation. Can you imagine, moms, dad, listen, your kiddos, let's just look down the line, 3 generations. 4, 5, 10 generations. Can you imagine all of your descendants praising the Lord, speaking of God's goodness, generation after generation? What a blessing that would be. Amen? Yes. He says, oh, the Lord is gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, great in mercy. And the Lord is good to some, and his tender mercies. No, I'm sorry. The Lord is good to all. And his tender mercies are over all his works. Did you know that God is good, but God is also good to everyone? Even those who don't love him, even those who curse him, even those who take his name in vain, even the worst of men, God is good to all. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 5:45? He said, he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. He says, and all your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. And they shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. And your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down, meaning those who belong to the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. I am thankful that right now the Lord is near to each of us. And that right now the Lord is near there with Mario and Rhonda, and there, with all of them. That, you know what I'm saying? He's there with Marshall right now, Gail, right this minute. And you know what? Whenever we're falling and don't know what to do, he says, no, I'm going to raise you up. I'm going to keep you held up. Listen, I don't know about you, but sometimes life can deliver some heavy loads. Amen? And you know, we hate to see our loved ones, they suffer, or the things that we go through. But I'm telling you, when life is like that, when it's hard, when it's heavy, and God, Jesus never said life is going to be fair, but God is. Amen. What do? We do what it says in the next verse, in verse 15. The eyes of all, this is what we do. We look expectantly. We're waiting on the Lord. We're looking for Him. And you give them their food in due season. You know, God knows when we're down scraping the barrel, doesn't He? He knows all of that. He says to, and look what He does. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. You know, I believe right now in Jesus' name that our Father's hand is open, remains open, will never be shut to us. Do you believe that? And not only does He satisfy everything, He's deeper than that. He satisfies the desire, the desire. Man, the Bible says in Psalm 37:4, delight yourself also in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Look at verse 17. The Lord is righteous. That means that the Lord is just. Everything He does is just and fair. He says He's in all of His ways. And He's also something else. He's gracious. That word means He is kind in all of His works. And the Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth. Aren't you glad that God is so present? Aren't you glad that Jesus is with us now on this communion night? He's here. Whether you feel Him, believe it or not, I know He is here. He's here with us right now. And you know, it just says all we have to do is call. Just call upon the Lord. You know what? Maybe you're listening live right now, or maybe you're here and you don't know the Lord. You know what you can do if you don't know Him? All you have to do is call upon Him. Why? He invites you to call upon Him, and He invites you to call upon Him, it says, in truth. Who is the truth? John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the truth, I'm the way, I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, amen? Acts 4:12, there's not another name under heaven given under men by which we can be saved except the name of Jesus Christ. And you know what? When you call upon Him, if you don't know Him, Romans 10:13 says this, whoever calls upon the Lord, you call upon Him, it says, you shall be saved. Isn't that a great word? Praise God. He says, and look what happens when we call. It says, He will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him. He will also hear their cry and save them. Does that mean that God fulfills every desire that we want? No. I mean, what did the Apostle John and James, what did they want to do to those people that were, not part of the 12? He said, Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven? You want us to barbecue those boys like we do in Texas? No. Did Jesus give them the desires of their heart? No. He said, you don't know what spirit you're of. How about Jonah when he says, he wanted the Lord to destroy Nineveh. That was wrong. No. So look at the next one. The Lord preserves all who love Him, but all the wicked He will destroy. And my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and the flesh shall bless His holy name forever and ever and ever. The Lord is near to those who love Him. Do you love the Lord? He's right here then. He's right near to you. The Bible says in, what is it, James 4:8, draw nigh unto the Lord, and He will draw nigh unto you. Now here we go, Psalms 146. These five psalms, now as we finish this great, the psalmist here, the psalms, conclude our study. They're called the Hallelujah Psalms. Each psalm begins and ends with hallelujah, okay? You're not going to find any suffering. You're not going to find any war. You're not going to find any persecution. You're just going to find praise to the Lord, and I like that. Look at verse 1. Hallelujah, that's what that means. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I'll sing praises to my God while I have my being. That's a good attitude, isn't it? As long as I live. As long as I have breath, every day, good days, bad days, lonely days, sad days, days of victory, I am just going to praise the Lord. He says, do not put your trust in princes. In other words, don't put your trust in those that can't truly help you. He says, nor in the Son of Man. Now, that does, a lot of people have read that, and they're trying to identify that with the Son of Man, our Lord Savior, in the New Testament. No, that word there, Son of Man, literally means human beings, okay? So don't trust in human beings in whom there's no help. Why? Well, his spirit departs. He returns to the earth. In that very day, his plans perish. Listen to me. Man is helpless without God. Isn't that right? Nations are helpless without God. All the sons of Adam, all of fallen humanity, aren't you glad we're no longer in that family? Man, we are in Christ Jesus. We are sons and daughters of God. We can look to the Lord for our help. We don't have to look to human leaders because there really isn't any help there. God knows exactly the help you need and when you need it and how you need it. Amen? You know, listen, it says, look at the next one now. Watch this. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Are you happy? Are you happy that God is your help tonight? Listen, if not, you have a problem, amen? Listen, he is our helper. He is there with us. He is on our side right now. Psalm 46:1 says this, God, meaning God himself, is our refuge, our strength, a very present help in trouble. You know how many generations that verse has been quoted? Passed through lip after lip. But you know what? You can know that scripture. You can memorize that scripture, but it will never help you unless you believe that scripture. Amen? And that's what we are to do. He says God is. He's made it his personal possession. And that's what we must do as well. Listen, God is not only our refuge, God is our strength. What did Paul the Apostle say in Ephesians 6:10, I think? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Nehemiah shouted out in Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Man, that is so important tonight. We look to our Lord and not anyone else. Amen? Amen. Therefore, it says in the psalm, as I continue in Psalm 46, therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, and though its waters roar and are troubled, and though the mountains shake with its swelling and it says Selah. In other words, ponder that for a minute. In other words, even though everything that we know, that we can see, that we are familiar with, when if it was gone, we would not fear, because the Lord is our refuge and the Lord is our strength. Amen? Aren't you glad that God is our help tonight? Yes, amen. He says, oh, he made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in it. It says, and who keeps truth forever. I think that, you know, the one who made all of that can handle our problems, don't you? He says, oh, look what he does in verse 7. Who execute justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry, who gives freedom to the prisoners, opens the eyes of the blind, raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the stranger. He relieves the fatherless, the widow. But the way of the wicked he turns upside down. Then the Lord shall reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. And then he says, hallelujah. Look at Psalm 147. He starts out again, hallelujah. And why is he saying that? For it is good to sing praises to our God. For it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. Why is it good? It's good because it's right. Amen. It's beautiful because God accepts it. Thank God for that. He says, oh, the Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcast of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds or their sorrows. Listen, has God stopped healing the brokenhearted? No. Did you know the Bible says that he is near to the brokenhearted? Boy, if your heart's broken tonight, may I tell you that he's here. He is here right this very minute, and he is the great physician. He binds up all of our wounds, and he just brings healing to us. Listen, God cares for us, amen? But he also cares for the stars. Look at this one. He counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by name. Has anyone ever counted the stars? You know, I read this morning, I don't even know what it meant, but I read it anyway about the Milky Way. And they found something outside of our galaxy for the first time or whatever. And they were trying to explain all that. And I went, I just want to read my Bible. God, can you listen to me? He counts. He knows the number, the exact number of all the stars in the entire universe. And not only that, he named each one. So he doesn't use our alphabet. Amen. Can you imagine that? He knows the name of each one. And you know what it says in Isaiah 40, 26? It says about the stars, not one of them is missing. Not one. He knows where every one of them. Listen, and the name, the one who named the stars, has he forgotten you? No, he'll never forget us. Oh man, listen, if God has done all that, I think he can heal our broken hearts. I think he can take care of us. Oh, great is the Lord, mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. In other words, without number, you can't number it. The Lord lifts up the humble, casts down the wicked to the ground. God's understanding of all things, it says, is without limit. You know, it would be good for all of us to never, ever, since God knows all things, to never be guilty of saying, you just don't understand my problems, Father. You don't understand my pain. You don't understand what's going on. That's really terrible, isn't it? God knows absolutely everything. Oh, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving and sing praises on the harp to our God. He likes music, you know. It says, who covers the heavens with clouds, who prepares rains for the earth, who makes grass to grow on the mountains. He gives to the beast its foods and to the young ravens that cry. You know, I saw a picture this afternoon, last night, but I didn't have my glasses on because it was kind of late and I was getting ready to go to sleep, but a picture was sent to me. And I mean, it was of a housing area, homes in this area. And this afternoon, I saw it bigger, you know. There were thousands of birds all over the roof of these homes. I mean, man, and they were all squawking and, you know, doing their business and all the rest of that stuff and you know, crying out. You know that God heard every one of their cries? Did you? Those people did. Man, listen, I'm telling you. But you know what? God knows and God feeds them. Amen? Listen, if God takes care of those annoying birds that was on that poor people's home, I think he can take care of us, O ye of little faith. Amen? Yes. He does not delight in the strength of the horse. He takes no pleasure in the legs of man. In other words, he's not impressed with horsepower. Or human power, okay? It doesn't get his attention. So what moves God? Look at verse 11. Oh, the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him and those who hope in his mercy. You know, that's what moves God. He says, there's my son or my daughter. They're trusting in me. They're looking unto me. They believe my word. They believe and trust in my love. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Amen. Well, that's love. Listen, he says there, oh, praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. For he has strengthened the bars of your gates. He's blessed your children within you. He makes peace in your borders. He fills you with the finest wheat. In other words, he puts the best bread on your table. You know, remember Wonder Bread? Do they still make that? Oh, never mind. He sends out his command to the earth and his word runs very swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters the frost like ashes. He casts out his hail like morsels or fragments of food. Who can stand before his cold? In other words, who can survive his winter? He sends out his word and melts him. In other words, now it's springtime. He causes the wind to blow, the waters flow. He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and his judgment to Israel. Now watch this verse. He has not dealt thus with any nation, speaking about Israel, and as for his judgments, they have not known them. And then he says, hallelujah. The nation of Israel, as we all know, is the most unique nation on earth. Not only is it the apple of God's eye, the people, but loved one, listen, through Israel came the Messiah, amen? Not only that, it also, the word of God, the old covenant, and even the new, came through the Jew, amen? Think about that. And so it says, and now Psalm 148, hallelujah, or praise the Lord from the heavens, praise the Lord in the heights or in the mountains, praise him all his angels, praise him all his host, praise him sun, moon, praise him all you stars of light, and praise him you heavens of heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass away. In other words, they'll be here as until we pass into eternity. Now, everything in heaven, everything we just read, designed to praise the Lord. Can you imagine all of heaven, all of the, I mean, everything, all the universe praising the Lord, or all of the heavens, and now the next verse, he wants to get the earth involved in all the praises and praising of the Lord. Man, what a sound that's going to make. Look at it in verse 7. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures. You know, like Flipper, you know what I mean. You great sea creatures in all the depths, fire, hail, snow, clouds, stormy wind, and look what they do, fulfilling his word. Did you quote that verse last night when the storm hit and blew down your fence and your tree in half? That happened all over. Did you know that? I hope it didn't happen to you, but it happened to some of us. It was horrible. Listen, remember the freeze when there was no power? And your next door neighbor, what did they have? They had that gas generator. You froze for 3 days. Well, the next time, if that ever happens again, quote yourself this verse. Oh, the Lord's just fulfilling his word. Mountains, verse 9, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees, all the cedars. Now look, he just names everything, mountains, hills, trees, cedars, fruit trees, beasts, all cattle, creeping things, flying fowl, like birds and bugs, okay? Kings of the earth, all peoples, princes, all the judges of the earth, young men, maidens, old men like Bill and children, and let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above the heaven and the earth, and he has exalted the horn of his people. The praise of all his saints, of the children of Israel, a people near to him. And then he says again, hallelujah. Look at Psalm 149. We're closing in, loved one. He says again, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song and his praise in the assembly of saints. And we're one of the saints, amen? Now listen, the new man, that's the old covenant. We're the new covenant. The new man, we should be singing a brand new song. And that song should be, Jesus is coming. Better watch. You better be ready. Amen. He says, oh, let Israel rejoice in their maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. And let them praise his name with dance. And let them sing praises to him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord, look at this now, for the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. Do you ever say that to yourself? That the Lord takes pleasure in you? Think of that. The Lord takes pleasure in us. You know, in Zephaniah 3:17, it talks about the Lord God in our midst. That's a great verse of scripture. And it says, you know what he does? It says, he rejoices over you with gladness. He rejoices over you with singing. God takes pleasure in his saints. He says, oh, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Are you going to do that tonight when you get home? He says, let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance on the nations, punishments on the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. Now look what it says now. This honor have all his saints. Praise the Lord or hallelujah. Now listen carefully. In verse 1, we had congregational singing. In verse 5, we have singing on our beds, okay? In verse 6, we are now singing on the battlefield. What in the world is this talking about? This has to be the 1,000-year reign, what we call the millennial reign of Christ. Remember what Psalm 2 teaches us about that? That it is a time of enforced righteousness when the Lord returns. There's 1,000 years, remember, and it says that children are going to be born and grow up in that time frame. At the very end, there's going to be that rebellion, remember? Okay. So this right here is obviously speaking of that day. Now look at Psalm 150. Can you believe after 2 years and 1 month we made it? I don't think I've ever been in a psalm in a book this long in my life. But you know, we were shut down. But anyway, let's look at it. It's a fitting doxology. And remember, can I say something? Hallelujah is not some Christian cliche. Amen. It shouldn't be used as a cliche. It is deep praise to the one who deserves it. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, Psalm 150, verse 1, it starts again. Hallelujah. Praise God in his sanctuary. In other words, among his saints. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Our God is our redeemer. He's our creator. He's the object of our praise. You know, it's important to remember that we should never worship the worship, but we worship the Lord. And we worship him. He's the object of our worship. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him for his excellent greatness. In other words, praise him for who he is. Praise him for what he has done. Praise him for what he is doing now. And praise him with the sound of the trumpet. And praise him with the lute and the harp. And praise him with the timbrel and dance. And praise him with stringed instruments, flutes. Praise him with what? Loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. In other words, how do we praise him? Well, if we read that, it's like grab every instrument that you can and let's get going. Amen. Let's praise the Lord. Listen, God loves, evidently here, musical instruments when they're used in praising him. That's right. And obviously, God likes loud, okay? It says loud cymbals. Now, I know we don't all agree with loud, but God likes it. Let everything that's living, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord, or hallelujah. Did you see the last instrument of praise? Our breath, the last instrument of, he says, oh, if you have that, who should praise the Lord? Every living thing that has breath. And one day, everyone, everything will be praising the Lord. Amen. The Bible says in Philippians, 3:3, for we are the circumcision who worship God in the spirit and have no confidence in the flesh. Loved one, listen, what a day that is going to be. You know, the book of Psalms, it closes with a final hallelujah. And you know, the first psalm begins, remember, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sit in the seat of the scorner. Amen? Remember how that goes? But here, it closes with, again, that hallelujah. But the first psalm, blessed is the man. And now that man at the very end says, yeah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You're good, God. Oh, everything that you do is good. And here we are tonight as we start preparing for communion. You know, tonight, here we are, servants of the Lord. Amen. Think of that. You don't have to be here on a Wednesday night, but you're here because you want to be here. Wednesday nights are hard. You've worked all day. You've probably missed your dinner. And you know, your wife is going, thank God I didn't have to cook. No, I'm joking. But think about that. You know, and here we are. We're going to celebrate communion tonight. Remember how I always pray. If we've sinned by word, deed, thought, or action, if we've grieved, quenched, vexed the Holy Spirit of God in any way, we run to the throne of grace. Amen. We run and say, oh, Lord, we can come before you by virtue of our relationship with Jesus Christ. And through the blood of Jesus, we have boldness to enter the throne room of heaven. Make sure that we're right with God tonight as we go to the Lord and prepare our hearts. You know, the first thing that we do as we know as we celebrate communion, loved one, is that we look back, don't we? We look back and we remember all that the Lord has done for us. Jesus told us there, Paul writes, you know, that the night that Jesus was there in the upper room in John 13, he said to the disciples and so forth, he said, listen, he says, take this bread. He says, and Jesus had given thanks and he broke the bread and he said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So tonight we look back as we celebrate the Lord's table. It's holy. It's a holy time together. And we look back and we remember, listen, Jesus paid it all. Amen. He took our place. He died our death. He tasted our death so we would not have to taste the full experience of whatever death is. And now whenever we do pass, to be absent from the body is to be immediately present with the Lord Jesus Christ. So we look back and we know that he took our shame, our guilt, our sin. He took it far as the east is from the west. Amen. It is gone forever. Jesus cried from the cross. He said, it is finished. And I thank God that we're saved tonight. Amen. So we look back. He says, in the same manner, Jesus also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The blood of the covenant, the shed blood of Jesus. As I always tell you at communion time, the cup that you're holding in your hand or about to hold in your hand, that is the final sacrifice for sin. There's no more sacrifices. Amen? Amen? No more. That is it. You know, all thousands of sacrifices, sheep and goat and bulls and all the rest of that, man. No, Jesus is the final sacrifice. And we know that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Thank God he shed his blood for us. We know that we've been redeemed not with corruptible things like silver and gold from our aimless conduct, but boy, we've been redeemed with the blood of the Lamb. I'm thankful for that tonight, for the blood has cleansed us from all sin. God is so good. It says now that we look back, we look also ahead. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you preach or you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Jesus is coming. I'm going to tell you something. He may be nearer than we believe. Things are changing so rapidly. You know, I was telling someone the other day, and I wish I could remember everything I told him, but I've been praying about where we are in history. Do you know that in our generation, we have seen things that has never happened in the history of the world, this generation? This generation, we have seen, listen, we have seen the oldest institution in the world redefined. Marriage. No other generation in history has seen that. We've seen it. Do you see? We are seeing things right now that no other generation has ever seen. And here we are in the midst of a pandemic, and I could go down the list and all the different things that only this generation has seen, because we're drawing nearer, loved one. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. We better be watching and waiting and working. Amen. So we look back. We look ahead when we partake of this cup. And then we look within. It says, therefore, whoever eats this bread, drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, will be guilty of the body, the blood. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Now, we know that if we knew the whole context in Corinthians, we know that the unworthy manner in which the Corinthians were partaking of the Lord's Supper, remember what they were doing? They were getting drunk at the Lord's Supper. They weren't sharing their food with anyone, remember? Remember?
Yes.
Is that unworthy?
Yes.
Yeah, we're not sitting around wasted, man. We're full of the Spirit of God, and that's where we want to stay. So tonight, you wouldn't think they would make an older person bend down like that. You know, and I think the media booth loves to see that. I don't know this, but I feel they get the camera and they pull that camera really close in. And maybe they say, maybe we can hear Bill squeak a little bit. So I'm going to bend down one more time. So get a good close up. I'm thankful tonight. I'm thankful. I'm thankful that no matter how I'm feeling right now, no matter how you're feeling right now, that Jesus is here. And that He will never leave us. That He will never forsake you. That He will be with you until the end of the age. And when this is all over with, He will guide each and every one of us safely home. We're the most blessed people in this entire world. I thank God tonight that we're saved. I thank God tonight that our sins are forgiven. I thank God tonight that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I thank You that Jesus is still the healer. And that right now, in Jesus' name, He's doing something with Marshall. Amen. He's doing something with you that are ill right now. Whether you know it or not, just believe it. Believe that He's touching you tonight. Father, tonight we come to You as Your family, Your children, and we're submitting to Your table. You were broken for us so we would not have to be broken, oh God. Oh, we celebrate as we look back, we look ahead, we look within, oh Lord. We examine our hearts. We just humble ourselves before You. And as we hold the bread, we hold the cup. Father, thank You. Jesus, everything we do now, the bread, the cup, we do in wonderful remembrance of You. Let us partake of the bread in Jesus' name. Father, as we partake of this cup of the new covenant, it is my prayer that, Lord, again for Marshall, but Lord, also for Bill Swofford, Lord, as we stand in proxy for them and also for any that are ill tonight in their bodies, nothing is too hard for You, O Lord. If the blood of Jesus can cleanse us from all sin, and it does, how much more can You heal any area of our life? So, Lord, tonight, in Your mercy and Your goodness, as we partake, would You displace, O Lord, sickness, infirmity, oppression, depression. Let them exit our thinking, our body, and bring healing. And Lord, again, for Marshall, even for Bill, Lord, Gail being there, we pray over them again. Total peace, total healing in the greatest name in the universe. And as we lift our cup tonight, we do this, O Lord, in remembrance of You. In Jesus' name, let us partake. Father, we simply say on this Wednesday night and the last communion of October, we all just say, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. You're so good. We love you. We praise you. Give us safe passage home tonight as Jesse closes us out with song. In the greatest name in the universe, we pray, the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And the church says, amen. Amen. Let's thank the Lord tonight, shall we? Let's stand to our feet. God is so good. If you need prayer, you know that after the song is over, there'll be people here to pray with you and for you. The Lord bless and keep you in Jesus' name.